had a dream. In my dream, my brother was shot twice in the side of the head, and he cried. I remember I called his apartment. His roommate answered the phone and said that he'd run out and got a pack of cigarettes. I hung the phone up and I turned to my wife and I said, something happened to my brother. And she says, well, what do you mean? And I said, I just felt it.
He was my firstborn. He was a child that smiled all the time. And was a very good child, very good just in so many ways.
Sunday, he didn't show up at the airport to pick me up. Monday, when he didn't show up to work, we knew something was wrong.
David always showed up to work. If he was going to be late, he would have called. So I knew something bad happened.
I called every hospital.
We passed out flyers, walked through wooded areas, and I would go in and swim through canals. Any place you think that something could be hidden.
Daily pain got bigger and bigger. You just want to die.
David Jackson disappeared June 25th of 1988. I was assigned the Jackson case in 2003. This is my first tour in the Detective Bureau. I had not done any detective work before, and I'm scratching my head and I'm thinking to myself, where do I start? He was a very responsible young man. He was divorced from his wife, Barbara. Barbara and David shared a young child, John, at the time. The night before he disappeared, he sat down, he paid bills. So this is a man to me that when I look at it, there's no way he's planning on leaving. He just dropped off the face of the earth. I wanted to put the poster of what David looked like and I put it up above my desk. One night during the week was the meeting for the Explorer post and Officer Wilson was in the office.
The Police Explorers Unit is where young people come in and they shadow the police department and learn about law enforcement from inside. John Wolfe was very shy, he was very quiet.
And I was looking around, seeing the pictures that the officers have on their desk.
This picture here. I'd asked these individuals, if you want to become famous, solve this case.
And I was like, I can't help you find him, but I know him.
And I see the sincereness on his face, and I said, John, talk to me. He says, that picture?
Well, that's my father. And he goes, bullshit.
I was totally blown away. I was totally shocked. I could not believe that he's telling me this.
I said, what? I was in shock. He said, I'm so excited that you're reopening my father's case. I want to know what happened to him. He said, I know my mom's not being truthful. I know that she's withholding information. I know that she knows more than what she's saying. At that moment in time, bells and whistles started going off. I thought it was the 4th of July, and I'm thinking to myself, this could be my first big break.
We had paid John's mom a visit. There's no doubt in my mind that I felt she was hiding something.
I really had nothing to hide. I still have nothing to hide. I'm totally upset about this.
We met with the police department about 6 o'clock, and he slowly saw this puzzle come together. And in a matter of hours, I knew who killed my brother.
You try everything to keep that little bit of hope that just maybe he's gonna knock on a door one day.
It was pure hell. It felt like my whole heart was just empty, that you could put your hand through it. There was just nothing there.
The disappearance of David Jackson from his Florida home in June of 1988 has haunted his family. But after 15 long years, his case has finally been reopened.
I was like, well, good. That's a good thing that they're going to work on it.
Barbara Britton says she was delighted police were intent on finding out what happened to her ex-husband, David.
David was my first love in my life, and
I always was hoping that David always would come back.
And she was happy that her son, John, may finally learn what became of his father. But that's not how Detective Donna Velasquez remembers it.
When John goes and tells his mom they've reopened the case, well, Barbara says to her own son, I thought that was closed a long time ago. They need to leave it alone.
Detective Velasquez recorded John talking about his mother's reaction.
She got very defensive and very touchy. I believe personally that she told about the information.
That sent up a red flag for me in that maybe I was going to have to fish in that pond and see just exactly what happened.
The detective began digging through the cold case file. A story began to emerge. It begins with a teenage romance. 19-year-old David Jackson, managing the local Burger King, falls in love with his employee, high school senior, Barbara Britton.
I liked her very much. She was a pretty girl.
David's mother, Judy.
They said, Mom, we got something to tell you. Barbara's pregnant. And they both said that we've been talking about marriage anyway, so they're going to go ahead and get married.
It was nice. We had a very big wedding. My dad, he had to sign the paper for me to get married because I was so young. We got married on my spring break.
When you were in high school?
Uh-huh.
But Barbara says her father wasn't thrilled with the union, and David knew it.
One of the only people I know my brother was ever scared of always was her father.
David's brother Mark remembers Harry terrified David.
Here my brother got his daughter pregnant. My brother was very scared of him, scared of what he might do to him.
And the pressure of being teenage parents would become very stressful. Barbara says David was immature and wanted to be with his friends, leaving her to care for a newborn alone.
He would just come over sometimes and be like, I'm going here, you know, and I would be like, okay, you know, and wish I could go.
Only Mark remembers it differently. He says Barbara never really gave his brother a chance, choosing to stay with her parents instead.
After the marriage, she refused to move into the house he bought. Nobody knows why, she just refused to. That's when things started going south, almost immediately after the marriage.
Who initiated the divorce proceedings?
Barbara.
Barbara.
Yes.
What did David say to you about the divorce?
He said he was going to make sure he got visitation with his child.
For 2 years, David and Barbara shared custody of John.
He paid his child support. He spent time with Johnny. He loved spending time with Johnny.
And then Barbara announced she was moving on. She was marrying an older man, Michael Wolf, a former military police officer who was 20 years her senior. Barbara was taking John, leaving Florida, and relocating to Arizona.
She gave David a 3-hour notice that she was moving to Tucson, Arizona with her new husband.
Before a judge, David and Barbara hashed out an agreement. She would bring little Johnny back to Florida for a month-long visit with David in the summer of 1988.
And he told his mother, he told his friends, I can't wait to have my son here.
And then, on Saturday, June 25th, 1988, just days before Barbara was supposed to bring John to visit his father, David received a phone call. His roommate would tell police he believed it was Barbara on the phone. Whoever it was, David spoke for a bit and then left to buy beer and cigarettes. He never returned.
His vehicle was found parked in the long-term parking lot at the Fort Lauderdale Airport.
A find that suggested 24-year-old David had just left town. But a closer look told a different story. That perhaps this was a murder.
The entire vehicle had been wiped down and it was clean. Not even to find David's fingerprints anywhere inside the vehicle or on the outside of the vehicle. That is very strange.
As Detective Velasquez pieced together the case, she learned that David's son John, the police explorer, didn't share his father's last name.
I said to him, how did you get the name John Wolf? And he said, well, Michael Wolf was my stepfather, and he adopted me. I said, he adopted you? I said, when did that happen? He says, I was probably 4 and a half going on 5.
Only months after David went missing, Michael Wolf contacted a lawyer about adopting Barbara's son.
Another flag went up for me. Why would any person want their son adopted by a stepfather so quick after the biological father went missing?
To Detective Velasquez, it was clear Barbara was hiding something incriminating. But if she was going to prove her theory, she needed help. That's when John agreed to secretly record his mother.
You agreed to help the police build a case against your mother?
I'm a very strong believer in doing what's correct. So in other words,
If you're my son, daughter, wife, child, you do something wrong, have a good day.
But this is your mother.
Granted, I love her, but if someone did something bad, why should someone cover it?
In the end, John changed his mind and didn't wear the wire, but he did say his mother asked him, "What are you trying to do? Have me arrested?"
Did you say it, Barbara? Did you say it to John? What are you trying to do? Get me arrested?
No. But he says I did. I'm not going to sit there and dwell on this. I'm just not.
For someone, especially his mother, to come up and say, "What are you trying to do? Have me arrested?" That's not normal.
For Detective Velasquez, it sounded like an admission.
I'm thinking that Barbara Britton is looking really good as a potential homicide suspect.
But she still had to prove David was dead.
David.
I never believed that he ever decided to pick up and run away from his life.
What we're seeing here are items that were recovered from David's vehicle.
In 2003, just months into her cold case investigation, Detective Donna Velasquez was certain David Jackson was murdered and his ex-wife had something to do with it. Only without a body, she couldn't prove anything. That is, until the search engine Google came to her aid.
My partner taught me how to do a Google search.
I search unidentified remains, unsolved homicides.
Google may seem like an odd place to begin looking for a body, but within minutes, the detective stumbled upon a database that could help her.
It allows you to fill in your criteria of your missing person, and it prompts you.
So I put in David's age, height, weight, date of disappearance. Well, it popped out about 50 matches.
But one description jumped to the top of the list.
It was a white male, over 6 foot, and he was found in the city of Miramar, which is one city south of Pembroke Pines, where David lived.
Construction workers found the bones in what was once this empty lot, now a Walmart shopping center.
So I went into my sergeant and I said, "Sarge, what do you think?" And he said, "I think you found David Jackson." So I go down to the medical examiner's office and I meet with the forensic anthropologist, and she wheels out remains.
There was no skull, but these bones had been sitting in the medical examiner's office for almost 15 years.
I said, "Is there any way that you could tell me that this is not David?" She says, "The only way we're going to be able to do that is through DNA.
So using David's mother's DNA as a comparison, a forensic examiner ran the test.
She says, "You're not going to believe this." She says, "But I got a 100% match." And I kind of just sat there for a little while and trying to absorb it, because honestly, I was in shock over it too, that we had actually found him. Now we move from a missing person to a homicide case.
But first, Detective Velasquez needed to break the news to David's mother.
What was her reaction?
She started crying right away, uncontrollably for a while. Then she got up. She walked around the table. She gave me a hug. She said, "I knew you would do it."
They handed me this box. It was pure white. It was about this wide and about this long, just pure white. They said, "This is David." They put me in this room and I set him down and I started to cry. I only cried maybe 20 seconds. And I picked up the box and I said, "David, you're home again." It was almost as if everything had lifted. I mean, I could actually feel like white doves flying and everything. It was that moment that it just summed everything up. That's all I needed was him back.
But she also needed some answers. So did Detective Velasquez. She went to see Barbara.
What was Barbara's reaction when you told her that you had identified her ex-husband's remains?
Well, I got this look that was so strange and so cold. She asked me, "Where did we find them, and how many bones did we have?" Very odd, very strange.
Do you remember saying how many bones did they find?
I don't remember saying that.
I just kept saying, oh my God, if that's her opinion and that's what she wants to say, then if that makes her feel good, let her say that, because that really upsets me. That upsets me. Why do you care where they found the bones? All I know is they found the bones and they had a match.
So what was your gut telling you after you left that meeting with Barbara?
That she was involved. She knew exactly what happened.
But Barbara insists she wasn't even in Florida when David went missing. She was in Arizona, living with her then husband, Michael Wolf. The couple divorced in 1992. But if Barbara was involved in David's death, the detective thought, Wolf may have been involved too. She tracked him to Kettering, Ohio, and had him brought to the local precinct.
I understand that we're detectives from Florida, right? Mm-hmm.
They wasted no time getting straight to the point.
Let me ask you something real quick. Did you kill David Jackson?
Oh, hell no.
But after hours of interrogation, Wolf made a bizarre statement. He told investigators Harry, Barbara's dad, hated David and wanted him dead, and had turned to Wolf, the former military police officer, for advice.
Harry and I had discussed this. David's demise. I told him the type of weapon to use.
What type of weapon was that?
It was a 22 caliber. I told him it had to be headshot.
Shoot him in the head. When did you have this discussion with Harry?
Oh my God, it was probably 3 or 4 months before the disappearance.
Wolf continued to deny any further involvement, but Detective Velasquez wasn't done digging. She learned that Wolf had sold a gun to one of his ex-wives, Nancy Graham.
And I placed a phone call to her.
Yeah, it was a shock.
I told her I was a detective for the Pembroke Pines Police Department working in the homicide investigation of David Jackson. And did she know who David Jackson was?
She started asking me questions, and I mean, it just freaked me out. I mean, it shocked me.
Nancy immediately knew her ex-husband, Michael Wolf, was in trouble.
She says, how much evidence do you have against him? Wow. I kind of bluffed her and I said, I have enough to put him away right now. She goes, I need to call you back.
I didn't know what to do or what to say.
For years, she held a secret.
It's the worst thing I've ever done in my life.
Nancy knew the truth of what really happened to David Jackson.
Just going over it makes me feel like such a for not saying something earlier.
How did you first hear the name David Jackson?
From him.
For Michael Wolf's ex-wife Nancy, it was time to tell Detective Velasquez what she knew about the death of David Jackson.
I don't know how he was killed, what they did with him.
How did you gain this knowledge?
The night he told me. He was drinking real bad. Every night he was almost down a whole bottle of scotch.
Nancy had married Michael Wolf just a year after he and Barbara divorced. And when Michael drank, he would oftentimes talk about David Jackson.
I really think his conscience was killing him. It was bothering him.
He told Nancy that when he was married to Barbara, she and her father, Harry, had come to him.
They came to him about wanting to get rid of David.
Nancy says Michael believed if he didn't agree to kill David, Barbara would leave him. So they hatched a plan. First, Barbara would pretend she wanted to rekindle her relationship with David. David's mother, Judy, remembers that shortly before he disappeared, her son was excited by the idea.
And he said, and guess what else? And I said, what? He said, she told me that she loved me. That's the first time she said that.
Then using fake IDs, Barbara and Michael would fly to Florida from Arizona. Barbara would call David to lure him to a location where he would be killed.
Barbara contacted David. She let him believe that maybe there was a chance of them getting back together. Okay. And he was supposed to meet her at a Motel 6. Mm-hmm.
When David arrived at the motel, Wolf was hiding with a gun in the bathroom.
He came out and he shot David.
Okay.
He told me he was so drunk, he had to get so drunk to do it.
And Nancy says Barbara was right there when it happened.
Barbara was in the hotel room. Did you might tell you that she was in the hotel room when he fired the gun and killed David?
Okay. She was there. They took his car to the airport, left his car at the airport. Then everything was okay, and they put in for the adoption for the little boy.
Finally, Detective Velasquez had enough to arrest Michael Wolf for David Jackson's murder. Almost 16 years after David went missing, police slapped the cuffs on Michael Wolf.
They escorted him over to the sidewalk. He's laying down on the sidewalk. I said, Michael Wolf, and he said, yes. So I'm Detective Velasquez with the Pembroke Pines Police Department, and I'm damn glad to meet you. And he looked at me with such shock.
How good did that feel?
Phenomenal. Phenomenal.
But that was just the beginning of the detective's good fortune. Michael Wolf had other ex-wives, six of them, and Nancy Graham wasn't the only one he confided in. There was also Carol Larson.
And what did Carol Larson tell you?
She proceeds to tell me that he started disclosing things to her, but he never would tell a name. He would say that I murdered someone, Barbara was involved, her father was involved. This is how we did it. He told her that he used a silencer.
Couldn't believe it. Couldn't believe it. He had told Carol too. So that really shocked me.
And the story that Carol told was filled with even more gruesome details, including how Barbara tried to use a stun gun on David to knock him out before Wolf could shoot him. But even with this information, the detective still couldn't arrest Barbara.
What I don't understand is that the two ex-wives also shared with you that Barbara and her father were involved in this plot. Why weren't they arrested immediately, too?
It's hearsay at that point.
And that meant what Nancy and Carol had heard about Barbara and her father from Wolf was inadmissible in court, complicating matters. Harry was no longer alive to question, dying of cancer in 1998. So the detective focused her attention on putting Wolf behind bars. At Wolf's trial, Nancy and Carol would be star witnesses, and Nancy would come face to face with David's family for the first time.
Looking at his mother and his brother, and it was hard.
Nancy was filled with guilt for not turning Michael in years ago, but then David's mother embraced her.
She came up to me and she hugged me, and she thanked me. I told her, I'm sorry for not coming earlier. I'm sorry. That was hard. And it made me feel so little. So I can't imagine going that long and not knowing where your child was.
After a week-long trial, it took the jury less than an hour to convict Michael Wolf of David Jackson's murder. Within days, Wolf, facing life in prison, announced he was ready to talk. Believing he would get a deal, Wolf changed his story and promised to give prosecutors evidence that would put Barbara away for the rest of her life.
Are you prepared to tell me the truth today?
Oh, yes.
I realized that I'm taking the fall for everybody here. I wasn't the one that came up with this idea.
Within days of his conviction for the murder of David Jackson, Michael Wolf announced he wanted to now tell police the truth. Barbara and her father, Harry, were deeply involved in killing David.
He and Barbara both had a large part in organizing and setting this thing up.
Who was the mastermind of this plot?
I would say it was Harry.
Wolf says Barbara's father, Harry, was consumed with hatred for David, and Barbara herself fueled the fire, making terrible accusations.
What did she tell you about David?
That he had beat her, and he was abusive to his son.
It was a story that Barbara repeated often. Detective Velasquez says Barbara told her terrible things that David did to little Johnny.
She said David put a cigarette out in his palm, that if you shaved John's head, you could probably see scars and marks.
John says he heard the stories from his mother as well.
Did she ever say that your father was abusive to you?
She told me that, but she told me that I also went to counselors to see why I acted certain ways when I was a child.
Did you hear stories about being burned with cigarettes?
Yes.
But Barbara never filed any charges to support the allegations.
Did you ever see any signs of physical abuse?
No, I didn't. I've given that a lot of thought since.
Today, Wolf believes it was part of Barbara's plan to motivate him to help kill David.
I think that was all just a story.
Back in 1988, Wolf says he would have done anything for Barbara. He was head over heels in love with her.
She was 21, I was 41.
Was that appealing?
Of course, I was probably middle-aged crazy, but yeah, that was a drawing card for me, definitely.
And in spite of her stories about David's abusive ways, Wolf says Barbara seemed okay with the idea that David would visit little Johnny. The problem was Harry.
Harry said, the only way I want to see David is face up in a box at Fred Hunter's, which is a funeral home. He said that more than once. And Barbara said he wants to do something to David. He wants to get rid of David. He had asked Barbara to ask me if I knew anybody who would do it, you know, like a hitman or a killer or something. I finally told him that I would take care of that.
Why did you agree to kill David Jackson?
I thought I could do that and keep peace in the family, keep the family together, this type of thing. Yeah. I didn't want to lose Barbara. I thought we had a family together, and I thought that's the way it would be.
Wolf says Harry, who lived in Florida, picked a motel near Fort Lauderdale where they could murder David. And to get David to the motel, Barbara made a date with him.
So that was part of the ploy. That's how you were going to get David to the motel room.
At the time, Wolf was working in Tucson, Arizona. He says he and Barbara used two expired driver's licenses in other people's names to fly to Fort Lauderdale.
I told Harry, I gave him the names. He made the reservations for us under those names. I gave one to Barbara, and I kept one, and we went to the airport, picked up our tickets.
And she knew why she was flying to Fort Lauderdale?
Of course.
She knew she was flying to Fort Lauderdale to kill David Jackson.
Right. Yeah, that was it.
Before they arrived, Harry dug what would be David's grave.
We flew in on the 25th, the day that David disappeared. Harry had already had the hole dug. He had the motel reservations made. He picked us up at the airport, went to his house. He had the stun gun, showed Barbara how to use it, because he felt it would be easier to knock David out first and then do away with him.
Then they headed to the motel. Michael doesn't remember exactly where it was or which one, but police believe it was this Motel 6. Once in the room, Michael says Barbara phoned David.
She called his apartment.
Under the pretense?
Under the pretense that she was in town, she wanted to meet him at the motel.
So he arrives at the motel room, and what happens?
Well, I'm in the bathroom.
Wolf says he was drinking heavily when David arrived.
I hear the front door, the knock. She opens the door. There was some chatter between the two of them, and then I hear this click, 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 click. It's the loud snapping from the stun gun. This stun gun was about that long and about that big around. It didn't work. I came out and I had the pistol wrapped in a towel. Well, she looked at me and I could tell she was scared. He looked at me and that's when he said, what the hell's going on?
Wolf says that's when he shot David.
Where was he struck?
Side of the head, right here, above the ear. He started to fall. He went down slowly. His head was leaning back like this, and fluid was running out of the wound. Harry came in and said, he's not dead. You have to shoot him in the heart. I said, shoot him in the heart. I just picked up the gun and shot him in the head again. It was somewhere around in here again. And I checked David. He was gone. He was not breathing, no pulse. His eyes were fixed. And we put him in the blankets, rolled him up, and put him in the back of Harry's car. Harry backed up to the door.
Wolf says he, Harry, and Barbara then drove to the gravesite.
David's head had rolled, I guess, and hit something in the back of the car. And she says, oh, this is so sick. And Harry says, what you wanted? And that was all, nobody said anything else. And then we all three buried him. We went back to the room, cleaned up the room, all of us did.
It was about a year later, he says, when Harry called. A Walmart was going to be built on the site where they had secretly buried David. Wolf needed to remove David's remains, so he flew back to Florida.
Rode over to where the construction site was. I saw three white things sticking up out of the ground, like this.
Bones.
That's what they were. I said, that looks like rib bones. I still get chills when I think about it.
But that night, Wolf didn't find these bones, which later led to the identification of David.
I was able to pull up the rib bones and the spinal column and the pelvic bone came all up with it. I stuck it in a garbage bag.
But you couldn't find the skull?
No.
Where do you think the skull is?
I think it still has to be there.
So what did you do with the remains?
Well, we put them in the back of Harry's car, drove back to the house, and Harry took the bag and set it out for the garbage. They were coming by to pick it up the next day.
Pretty macabre.
Yeah.
A few months later, the adoption of little Johnny was final. Then Barbara made a decision.
She left me.
And then asked for child support.
You feel that Harry Britton and his daughter Barbara set you up to take the fall for this?
Yes. Now I realize I was the one that pulled the trigger. I understand that, you know. But still, for her part, she's out walking free, and I find that hard to believe.
Do you think she's just as culpable as you are for the murder of David Jackson?
Yes.
I did not kill David. I had nothing to do with it. I did not even have knowledge of it. I mean, I loved him. I still love the guy. I still love David. We had this special love.
So Michael Wolf is a liar?
Yes.
But police didn't think so. 1 month after Wolf's confession, Barbara Britton was under arrest and charged with the murder of David Jackson. Unable to make bail, she spent the next 3 years in jail, awaiting trial.
I just cannot believe that I'm sitting here innocent and now, you know, I'm gone through all this. I just really can't believe it.
Despite the tearful pleas proclaiming her innocence, Barbara Britton was now preparing to stand trial for the murder of her ex-husband, David Jackson, almost 22 years after his disappearance.
I don't think Barbara's guilty of anything.
Barbara's defense attorney, Keith Seltzer.
And there's no evidence to prove otherwise. She's just not that type of person.
But David's mother, Judy, says she knows exactly what kind of person Barbara is.
She's a sociopath. She has no feelings. If she wants something, she will get it. That's how she is. It's all about Barbie.
She calls me a lot of things. You know, it's her son. Being a mother, I probably call a person things and names too.
While awaiting her trial, Barbara's son John, who had told police he suspected his mother was hiding information about his father, now says he never thought his mother was guilty of anything.
I didn't believe at any point of any time that she was capable or even would, if could, do this.
Barbara admits her relationship with David was at times strained, but adamantly denies she was the source of stories alleging that David abused Johnny.
So let me just be clear, Barbara. Did you ever tell Johnny that when he was younger, David burnt him with cigarettes?
No.
So as far as you know, David did not mistreat your son?
As far as I know and what I want to believe, no, because that was David. That was the man that I loved. That's the father of my baby.
Barbara says it was her father, Harry, who believed David was hurting little Johnny. But she never imagined he would help kill David, That is, until now, Wolf's story has made her wonder.
I'll never know. He did it. He took it to the grave with him when he passed away.
Detective Donna Velasquez isn't buying any of it. She is sure Barbara is a cold-blooded killer.
I guess the question is why? Why was David Jackson killed?
She never wanted to share child custody with him. She wanted to have John all to herself. And I'm a firm believer that she groomed Michael Wolf to be a part of this.
To Detective Velasquez, the case against Barbara was rock solid. That is, until Barbara's attorney, Keith Seltzer, dropped a bombshell at a bond hearing.
Mr. Seltzer came into the courtroom, and he was holding a piece of paper, and he presented it to the judge. He said, Judge, he says, I can show you my client was in Arizona at the time of this homicide. She wasn't in Fort Lauderdale.
Seltzer says phone records showed someone had called Barbara's apartment in Tucson on the night David disappeared in Florida. The call lasted 4 minutes.
So the question became, who answered it? Somebody had to be in Arizona to answer that phone, and we believe it was Barbara.
Michael Wolf calls it nonsense. He says that phone call was planned to help establish an alibi.
Harry said it would be a good idea to call out there, let the answering machine pick up. It would look like somebody was out there and we weren't in Florida at all.
But Seltzer says the Wolfs didn't own an answering machine.
I don't believe a single word that Michael Wolf says.
Especially, Seltzer says, because Wolf was looking for a deal.
Please have a seat.
But Wolf's credibility would take a huge hit when a former cellmate came forward saying Wolf had told him that he was trying to frame Barbara for the murder.
And Barbara didn't have any idea he was going to shoot him.
That's right.
That's when prosecutors made a stunning decision.
We were ultimately offered a plea bargain to a reduced charge because the state attorney's office recognized that there was not a likelihood of them obtaining a conviction for first-degree murder.
We're here this afternoon on the state of Florida versus Barbara Britton.
Yes, Your Honor. In order to avoid prison, the deal called for Barbara to plead guilty to being an accessory after the fact to first-degree murder. She would only admit to making a call to David to arrange a meeting with her father, but not on the day of the murder.
In the later part of June 1988, I told David that my father wanted to meet with him.
I did not make that phone call that day, or that one that took him to the so-called hotel that everybody's saying about. No, I will tell you, I knew that my dad wanted to talk to him, and that's what I said.
How would they manage to get David to come to the hotel without your help?
I don't know. Okay, I really don't. I wish I could tell you.
It's just really, it boggles the mind that your father and Michael Wolf would kill the father of your son without telling you.
Boggles people's mind. Well, how do you think I'm feeling? I have questions.
But there's one question Barbara is forced to answer.
So then on the one count that is before us today, Ms. Britton, how do you plead?
Guilty. I looked up and I said, God, David, we got justice. She finally said she's guilty. If she wants to minimize it, that's fine. God knows and David knows. And I know in my heart she lured David to the motel to murder him, to get him out of her son's life.
For David's brother, Mark, seeing Barbara avoid prison was heartbreaking.
She got away with murder, but I still believe in karma, and eventually she'll get hers. She'll have to live her own hell someday. You know, we lived it for a long time.
Barbara insists she's been living in her own hell for some time now, and for almost 2.5 years, she was forced to wear a court-ordered ankle bracelet that tracked her every move and reminded her of David's death. Judy wears a bracelet of her own, but one she treasures and she never wants to take off. It holds David's ashes.
They're in both ends, some of the ashes, and then I have our birthstones on each end. I mean, he gives me strength. That brings me just everything. I mean, that God picked me out of all the mothers that have missing children, and he picked me to give me my child back. I know he's here with me right now. I got no doubts about it. And that's what he was saying, Mom, I'm here. You know, I'll keep you going. I'll keep you strong.
Michael Wolff's life sentence was not reduced. He remains in a Florida prison.